Jesus God, we give you thanks. We thank you for this second day, second Sunday of Advent. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into the world to show us something new and wonderful and give us the hope of eternal life. We thank you. And so, God, as we're gathered here to worship you on this Sunday, we pray that you will be with us and among us this day. Lord God, be with our nation. As we have gone through a terrible time this week in California, and we live in fear, but we know that, Lord God, that you're with us. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us. So show us the way, Lord God. And as we worship you today, remind us that the greatest gift is love. You gave Christ to us by your love and through your love. So, Holy God, we bless your name now and speak a word of hope for us, a word of love, and a word that will sustain. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And here we are today. We are in church worshiping. We thank God for the freedom to worship the Lord. Amen. In this country, amidst everything that is going on, that we are still free, and we give God thanks for that. And on this second Sunday of Advent, we are going to be looking at the second candle of Advent, which we're using as love. It's a little bit different from our banner, but you know, it's four candles, and sometimes they switch places. You know, some folks put love before, and peace or joy is always in the third position. But, you know, I do believe that love came first. Love came before everything else. If I was redoing the Advent candle, I would start with love. I would make candle number one love, because it all began with love, and then hope and peace and joy came. And so today we are going to look at love. And my sermon title is A Simple Act of Love. A Simple Act of Love. I read this article, reflection on unconditional love for someone with severe disability. Jean Vanier, a Christian leader who founded L'Arche communities around the world for persons with severe disabilities, tells a story about a 76-year-old woman named Francois, also known as Mammy. Francois had serious mental and physical disabilities. She was blind, bedridden, and incontinent. She could not feed or dress herself. She was unable to communicate through words. And yet, the entire staff of this community followed the words of the scripture and showed Christ-like love for Mammy. But showing unconditional love wasn't always easy. One of the staff assistants, a young man called Luis, was assigned to take care of Mammy. Luis was disappointed because he did not feel drawn to her. Faithfully, as he was asked, he fed Mammy, but he found it tiresome. Then one day, he placed her hand on his hand and smiled. Then one day, she placed her hand on his hand and smiled. It was, he said, a special meeting, a moment of transformation, a moment of grace. From that moment on, he loved being with her. What he had found tiresome and difficult became a blessing. Love had made all the difference. Then one day a woman came to visit the director of that same community. As the visitor watched Mammy struggle through life, weak, blind, voiceless, powerless to feed or dress herself, she offhandedly asked the director, "What's the point of keeping Francois alive?" And the director looked at the visitor and says, "Well, madame, because I love her. Because I love her." Simple acts of love are done every day in the most unlikely places. These acts of love are done by ordinary people every day. We read about a month ago about a story of a woman in the subway who was coming home from work. She had on a pair of nice boots, 27-year-old young woman. And she noticed, she said, she always sat on the train with her headphones on and want to be left alone because the trains are packed. If you travel the subways, I'll be on it tomorrow, you know how full it gets. And you just want to take out your book. You want to be left alone. You don't want to be noticed, really. But she looked down and saw a homeless woman bent over. You know, they always sleep on the train. And she noticed her feet were twisted and dirty and blistered. And she said she thought to herself what pain she must be having. That moment, that young girl was moved to take off her shoe, took off the boots she had on, and gave it to the woman. She asked the lady, "What size are you wearing?" The lady said, "Size 7. And she took off her shoes, and she says the worst thing that happened to her, she had dressed quickly that day, and her socks did not match. And she felt a little self-conscious, but she took off the shoe and put it on the lady, gave it to her, and the lady began to cry. And just cried and wept. She couldn't believe she was giving her the shoe. Then another man on the train saw the woman did that and realized she only had on one set of socks and knew it was cold, and he took off his shoes, removed his socks, gave the socks to the woman who had given up her shoe, and she put a second pair of socks on. And that story went on the internet. Everybody heard about it. The young lady said, "I didn't want anybody to think I wanted to be famous or to be known, but I just thought at that moment that I have a lot of shoes and I could give her my shoes." Act of kindness. Love does this all the time. Simple acts. Many of them that we have not read about, we haven't heard about, we don't know about. And so in this song of Charles Wesley, one of his best known hymns, do you know that? Even though we don't sing it as often, it is said that every denomination from Reformed to Lutheran to Roman Catholic, in every one of their hymnals, this song is sung. Of Christian perfection, how we can get better as Christian. The verse says, love divine. It's called Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. That this song says, this hymn says, the divine love of God excels all love that we could imagine or think of. And so Charles Wesley would write, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation and enter every trembling heart. That is the servant that we serve. That is the Savior that we serve. Pure, unbounded love thou art. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Tell us all in these inherit. Tell us all in thee inherit. Let us find the promised rest. Take away the love of sin in Alpha and Omega be. End of faith at its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. And because of the love of Jesus Christ, our heart is set free to love. We are set free to love because of the love of Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus into the world was and is a simple act of love. It is not a complicated theological principle like we try to make it in seminaries. It is not a religious argument that we try to debate. It is not a denominational decree that we try to say it's handed down by one denomination and not to the other. It is none of that. It is just a simple act of love. Because we are reminded of John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have the hope of eternal life. It began with the love of God for us. And so to fulfill this love, there were several things happening. Several things were put into place to fulfill this love. It was not happenstance. It didn't just happen out of nowhere. God had a plan to save us, to save humanity. And therefore, I want to give you four words that it is, we would say seminary words, but they are standard terms that happen in the Bible. Four words I'd like to bring before you today. And the first is covenant. Covenant. The second is prophecy. The third is promise. And the fourth is fulfillment. Advent, the coming of Christ, is about covenant, prophecy, promise, and fulfillment. A covenant was made by God with his people. After the flood, the Noahic flood, God made a promise that he would not destroy humanity in completeness again, that he would always save a remnant. The covenant was made that he would save us. Old Testament, Hebrew Bible. And as we went through, we see from Old Testament to New Testament, the people of God, children of Israel, would also break their relationship with God like we do. They sinned against God. But because God had made that covenant, the Malachi text will say that, all the prophets will say it, God had made that covenant. Jeremiah would say there'd be a new covenant. He had made that covenant that he would save humanity. The prophecies would come. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the prophets prophesying that the Messiah would come. One would come to save. For 4,000 years, 3,000 years, they're prophesying. One would come to save. He would come into the world to save his people out of the great act of love from Christ. Because of God had promised it. And so we see the prophets. And then we see the great promise fulfilled. Zechariah's song is about the fulfillment of that promise. Because John the Baptist, who would come what? Before, to prepare the way. And John the Baptist would be the last prophet, the first prophet of the New Testament, and the last prophet that would come to prophesy. And so we see in this text to fulfill this promise to humanity, to fulfill this promise to us, we see it in Zechariah's song as he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Blessed be the God of Israel." You know, in some other interpretation, it says, "Praise be the God of Israel." The NIV says, "Praise be the God of Israel, for he has looked favorable on his people and redeemed them." Looked favorable on us and redeemed us, on his people. "He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old." Do you see? It's the covenant, the prophecy, the promise, and Jesus would be the fulfillment. Do you see the plan? This is how the Bible is written. Do you understand? From Old Testament to New Testament. I'm simplifying it. From Genesis to Malachi. It's a covenant. Genesis to Malachi is a covenant and the prophecies. That's what it's all about. Major prophets, minor prophets. Everyone pointing to the coming of the Messiah. If nothing else you learn today. Genesis, from the beginning to the last book in the canon, Malachi. All about the coming of the one. They're waiting. They're expecting. They're waiting. That's why in Advent, we always go back to that, right? The waiting, as if Christ hasn't come yet. We know he has come, but we go back to remember the great plan of God for humanity. And then we hit, bam, New Testament. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. We begin to read the four Gospels, the promises fulfilled. But in this promise was the plan of God to send forth someone who would come to prepare the way. So Zechariah and Elizabeth would have this boy, and Zechariah is rejoicing, and he would say, "Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors," that God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. That's what the scripture says. When God says it, it's so. It is going to happen in God's time, right? Thus he has shown us, right? And the oath he has sworn to his ancestors, to our ancestors, Abraham, to grant us that he would do what he said he would do, that he would rescue us from our enemies and give us this new life, was done. And it says in verse 76, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High." John the Baptist is called the prophet of the Most High. John the Baptist. Right? "For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of sins. And by the tender mercies of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So John the Baptist would come to fulfill the great prophecies. The promise would be fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. You could wait forever. God is going to promise. I always say, whatever I'm praying for someone, if I don't live to see it, I know if God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I may have to see it from heaven, from eternity, but it's going to happen according to his will in his time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. He will not lie. I'm praying for some people to accept Christ, praying to family members to come back to God, and I may not see it in my lifetime. If he so chooses to let me see it, then I will here on earth, but I know I'll see it one day because I'll see it from eternity. I have unsaved loved ones because God is true and faithful to his word, and so the promise would come. And when John the Baptist came, I'm just trying to give you the Bible in a nutshell. Now we're in New Testament now, right? When John the Baptist came, he came with a new covenant. It would be a new dispensation. It no longer would be the law. He would not be prophesying like the law, right? It would be a change in the heart. Repent. Be baptized. Repent, he says. It would be a change of our heart. This would be the love arrangement that God would make. John the Baptist wanted folks, he was preparing the way to let the folks know these were Jewish folks predominantly, and of course Gentiles, but to let them know it was no longer that you're going to be under law. You're going to be under a new, as Paul would call it, circumcision of the heart. A change of heart that each person would have to repent of their sins, ask God to forgive them, and they would be forgiven. So the promise was fulfilled. Change of heart, the promise was fulfilled. And all of that was done through love. Simple. A simple act of love. Yes, it would have been, it's hard for Jesus because he had to die on a cross. We're not preaching Easter now. We know that piece of it. But the birth of Jesus Christ was a simple act of love for you and for me. Because God so loved the world and still loved the world. And so Paul, as he speaks to the church at Philippi, what a lovely letter. It's a prayer. Paul says a prayer to the church as I says it to you. Pretend I'm speaking to the church at Hicksville. He says, I thank God every time I remember you constantly, praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing of the gospel from the first day until now. What a lovely. Do you hear those words? What a writer Paul was. He says, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. That Christ loved us so that he has begun a good work in you and me. And he will bring it into completion that day when we meet him, caught up to meet him in the air. And Paul goes on, he says, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, Paul says, how I long for you, for all of you, with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced harvests of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The songwriter says, love lifted me. I was sinking far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love, that's not in our hymnal. I think it's in the baptism, and I meant to make copies today, but it's not. Love lifted me, Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Nothing else could help us, church. Love lifted us. Love lifted me, oh, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. And so today, we are recipients of love. And because we are recipients of love, we must be vessels of love. You know what a vessel does? A vessel holds fluid. You know, it doesn't hold solid. If you look at a vessel, and I'm thinking of a vessel, we want to be vessels that are holding fluid, that is easy to what? To be poured out. Because we are recipients of love, we must be what? Vessels of love. So today and this Sunday, I want to remind you, we are first agents of hope. And our second Sunday of Advent, we are what? Vessels of love. Because God has poured his love in us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he poured it in us when we were yet in sin. He would send Jesus Christ to die for us because of his great love. No heavy Greek, or we don't need no Greek or Hebrew to tell us that. Love is love, agape love. Unconditional love. We could not earn it. We cannot earn it. We cannot lose it. We can't give it away because it was given to us. It belongs to God and it's ours, and he loves us without reason and cost. He loves us this morning. He would send Jesus. And so, my brothers, because we're vessels of love, we give love back. We're supposed to give love back across race, color, culture, political disagreement, argument, theological discourse. We are called to love. And so, as I close, I want to show you an example of why we who are the church or people of love, and we therefore must give love. And you empower your church to love others. I told the story this morning, and I'll tell it again. This is what happened to us. We went to do the, you don't know this, I didn't call you, I'll tell you. But we went to do the boxes on Tuesday. The boxes for the soldiers. And I think we did about 100, over 100 boxes. The kids, the young people. And I went along this time. It's up at the VFW. I think we're close to, they're probably close to about 400 boxes. And some young people came out, and Dana and Ricky and Ellen was there, and I was really writing the labels. And I noticed the labels on the boxes are all from all over the world. You know, it's Honolulu, it's here, it's different places. They're going to Iraq, they're going different places as we're labeling them. So at the very end, we were going to leave, and Ellen came to me and she said, "Hey, Pastor, would you like to, you know, pray?" And I said, "Do they want me to pray?" You know, I didn't want to. And she says, "Oh, yes, yes, yes." And so the mothers were there. They're called the Blue what again? The Blue Star Moms. And so I said, "Okay, let us pray." And I said to everyone, "Let us make a circle." And the room was full, and people made circle. And we held hands, and I prayed. You know, and some of the mothers were crying because their kids are in active duty. And we prayed, and I prayed that the boxes would get there. I says, "Lord, that these boxes would reach wherever they're going to these soldiers." Because, you know, some of you gave stuff here. You bought and you put it, got into the boxes, and from other places. Well, I was standing in the office on Wednesday, and Celeste, the mail came, and I always go to the mail to look to make sure. And I see this letter. This is now Wednesday. They had already packed boxes earlier, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, in November. And so I see this letter, and the letter says, 130 West Oak Country Road, Hicksville, New York, 11801, but there's no church name. And it's written kind of funny, and it says, it's from Zachary Summers, 386 FSFS Unit 61413 APO, that's the addresses. And then the stamp says, "Free, military post." I says, "Oh, we're getting a thing from the military." So I opened it up, and there's a letter. I was just telling Celeste that I'm praying. I was going to show Celeste my Facebook page, because she doesn't do Facebook, about how I put it on Facebook, what the kids are doing, and I'm praying that the boxes get there. While I'm talking, I decided to open the letter. And here's this letter. One simple act of love can change the world. It says, hello from across the ocean. We just wanted to say thank you for the box that you sent us. I wish we could correctly express what it means to have you, your support. It always brightens up our day when we get something from our friends back home. Believe me when I say that your support helps us through long, hot days. We can't wait to get home and tell our family and friends about all the cool stuff that you sent us. You are such an instrumental part of our success over here, and we appreciate everything you all do. You all are our heroes. You all are all ears to us. Thank you for all you do. We look up to you all. From Sergeant Zachary Summers and the 386 Security Forces Squadron. One simple act of love. Couple of items we bought at the stores and put in a box. And we sent it. All of you bought, so many of you bought, you put it in that thing. And we sent it and a soldier received it. This is what it's all about. And sent us a letter to Hicksville United Methodist Church, didn't even know the church name, 130, to say, we are their heroes because we packed a box. This is what it means to be Christians. This is what it means, one simple act of love. Who would have thought that packing those boxes, that a soldier is waiting, man or woman, somewhere, and when they open it, they remember, they're told, and they understand that we have not forgotten them. We have not forgotten them. These young people haven't seen this letter yet. But this is what Christ has expected of us. On this second Sunday of Advent, we are reminded that we are recipients of love, and therefore we must be vessels of love. And every opportunity we get to do something good, no matter if we like them, there's some terrible things that have happened in our country last week. But there are Muslim folks living around here walking the streets that haven't done anything to us. And even though it's hard, we have to find it in our hearts to love these folks. I looked through my window after I heard that thing. I was so angry. And I saw two girls walking. I told Zamzam, and they had on their head were wrapped. They were walking to school, and I said, Lord, protect them. Because they were just about 14, 15-year-olds, because I'm a Christian. And I've got to find this love in my heart, even when I get mad, to love them. I said, Lord, protect them, because those two young girls are walking to school. They don't know. They're just trying to live. Church, we are called. We're having a hard time during this Advent season for us as Christians. But we are called to love folks. And we have to love them through all of this. Because we had one who loved us through our sin. And while we are loving them, we want to love our veterans more than we've ever loved them before. And those who are fighting, we need to love them. Because of them and our policemen and all of them who are giving of themselves to our safety, we better find it in our heart to love them. Because we are Christians. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen.